The Tom Woods Show, episode 810.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hello, everybody. Tom Woods here. I'm talking today to Neil Harmon, who is the CEO of a very interesting company called VidAngel. You can visit them at vidangel.com. They do streaming movies like Netflix, but unlike Netflix, they allow the viewer to filter the movie according to his own preferences. So if you don't want bad language, not only can you get rid of bad language, you can even pinpoint precise kinds of language you don't want to hear. Or whatever else, whatever other kind of feature of the movie that you don't want to see, you don't have to see. Now, naturally, they're being sued for this. How dare you do that? But they have an argument in their defense, and seems to me they're not doing anything wrong. It's a very, very interesting story, and I'm pleased to be joined by Neil Harmon, CEO, and indeed father of seven, by the way, which is probably not irrelevant to the question. Neil, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tom. I'm a big fan of your work, and I'm really pleased to be on.
Well, I'm a big fan of your work, man. This is really great what you're doing, and there's a lot to talk about here. I just signed up for VidAngel the other night. We've already watched two movies. It's very interesting what you're doing. I used to subscribe to a service called Clean Films, where they would actually send you the DVDs in the mail.
Right.
And they had already done their own editing of it, and it was a one-size-fits-all kind of edit, and you would get it and send it back. First of all, I don't want to get into the legal issues until later. Talk about exactly what your product does.
Sure. So VidAngel allows families to watch filtered popular movies and TV shows through their favorite devices, through the iPad, the Roku, Apple TV, all the modern streaming devices.
All right. So I pick a movie and I find out all the different sorts of things that might be objectionable or might be unsuitable for a young person or whatever it is. And then I actually get to decide, I can sort of micromanage the kinds of edits that will be made. If I'm not worried about language, I won't touch that part. If I'm not worried about violence, I won't touch that part.
Yeah, I'll give you a good example. The movie The Martian, we turned on the filters for male nudity and for the F word. And then we watched that movie with all of our children, you know, from the youngest to the oldest. It's a great movie. The storyline's interesting, and even our, three-year-old loved the film. So that was an experience we could have together as a family because of VidAngel.
Yeah, that's really great. It really is a great, it's an amazing thing. Now, there's an unusual aspect to it in the sellback process.
Sure. I'll explain
how that works. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll use the Martian example. Let's say I want to watch The Martian filtered. So I buy the movie on VidAngel for $20. I own it so I can legally set my filters and watch the movie. And then if I love the movie, then I can keep it. Or if I don't, I sell it back to VidAngel for $19 of VidAngel store credit. It has to be sold back within the first 24 hours. The second 24 hours, it'll be $18, et cetera. And then I no longer own the movie and can't view it again without purchasing it. So, that's the way the model works.
Now, why does it work that way? Why isn't it just you rent it for, you know, a dollar a day or something? Why is it a sell back?
There's legal precedent that we were concerned about and we were trying to stay as close to the provisions of the Family Movie Act and the copyright law as possible. And so when you own an item, it changes the nature of the performance back to you. When you own it and you're setting the filters, then our position is that's a private performance of the work.
All right. So that is, I assume there was a legal reason that you were doing it that way. So my view of this situation, I assume, is yours, that if this thing is my private property, I can do whatever I want to. If I wanted to take a sledgehammer to it, I could. If I want to scrape it up, if I want to use it as a coaster, I can do anything I want to alter it. So if I happen to alter it in order to suppress certain parts of it, well, isn't that something I'm allowed to do with my own property? That would seem to me to be unanswerable. Now, some people could, by the way, let me anticipate an objection, because some people could come back and say, well, Woods, how would you feel if people took your books and then altered them and enjoyed them? And my answer would be, go ahead. Do whatever you want to my books. Cut them into pieces. Make snowflakes out of them. I don't care. Just buy the book. Do whatever you want. And then, but people would say, but your artistic integrity would be undermined. But everybody would know it's been altered. They would know that. Yeah. And I would be perfectly fine with that.
Right. Well, that's the law. I think the average American understands it from your and my perspective. But there is this group of very passionate artists, and they're very powerful people inside of Hollywood who feels the opposite. So their position is that either choose to watch the work as I intended for you to watch it, or just don't watch it at all.
Yeah, that seems to be the approach. So therefore, when you went into this, how long have you had this service?
2013 is when we started.
Okay. When did you get into legal trouble?
The studio sued us in June of 2015.
Okay. So you had two relatively good years.
Yeah. I mean, well, we had a hard road. So the very first year we started the company because we saw a way to do it. We were asking ourselves in 2012 as brothers, how come there's no way to stream and filter a movie today? And so we started researching it. And then in 2013, Google launched a little device called the Chromecast. We got really excited because then we could – it had an SDK, and we could develop a piece of software that sat on the Chromecast. And then as a Google Play movie came to the Chromecast onto your television, we could filter it. And we got this working. We raised capital. We launched a company. And then a month after that, Google launched the Chromecast, and they removed all the technology that made the filtering possible, much to our dismay. And that was the first in a long line of attempts at trying to make a filtering service available asking this. We met with Google Play after that to see if we could partner with them, since they have licensing from the studios. And then as soon as they started talking to the studios, they discovered they couldn't do it without their permission, and the studios refused to give permission. And then our current model, we developed along with a very respected Hollywood lawyer who said that if we sell a work to someone and they set filters, then the Family Movie Act would protect, would indemnify us from copyright lawsuits. But and then we also wrote the studios to tell them about the service a year before they sued us, and asked for feedback and asked if they had any, you know, qualm with how we were interpreting the Family Movie Act. And they didn't get back to us or ask for any changes, and then sued us in June of this 2016. I said 2015 earlier. So 2016 is when they sued us.
When you say the studios, what does that mean?
I should clarify. That's Disney, Warner Brothers, Lucasfilm, and 20th Century Fox. So only three of the six major studios that are part of the MPAA are part of the lawsuit. And I do not know why. In traditional lawsuits, where the studios, because the studio's position is that we're being pirates, that the filtering is just a show to get around copyright law. It's baloney, and they know it's baloney because we've told them that we'd purchase a license at regular pricing, but they won't sell it. So for some reason, three of the major six have decided not to sue us. We're glad for that.
So what is the nature of the suit? Are they basically telling you have to shut down, or are they suing you for damages? They want money? What do they want?
So they want to shut down. So they've asked for a preliminary injunction, and the judge has actually granted a preliminary injunction as of December 12th of this year. And we immediately responded with a motion to stay the injunction, and we also appealed to the Ninth Circuit. Then we had a hearing just Monday on our antitrust counterclaim. We've countersued the studios, saying you guys are trying to prevent there from being a filtering market and from there being competition from the people who want to filter. And so you're violating antitrust laws.
All right. Well, what happens next, and what's the timeline? Do you have any way of knowing? You're just sort of in limbo?
So the judge told us on Monday that he would rule within 7 days on the antitrust lawsuit, on whether we're able to continue with that lawsuit. The studios have asked him to refuse the lawsuit. And he's also considering right now our motion to stay the injunction. As soon as we hear back from him, if he refuses our motion to stay the injunction, we'll be required to pull down all the plaintiffs' titles. We'll immediately file with the Ninth Circuit for a stay during the appeal process. And we're hopeful that with a fresh set of eyes that the Ninth Circuit will look well upon this. Now, we're encouraged that the judge is currently considering our motion to stay rather than just outright denying it. So we're encouraged that VidAngel will still be operating while we find the merits of the case.
Well, this has got to be pretty nerve-wracking. I mean, you poured enormous energy into this and developing the technology behind it, and now they could pull the rug completely out from underneath you.
Not this time, Tom. So we raised money with our customers. In fact, the studios sued us 2 weeks after the announcement that we were interested in raising money from our customers conspicuously. And I think they hoped that they could stop us from getting traction or getting the funding to defend ourselves. And instead, I think it strengthens people's resolve to fight this battle. And we raised $10 million right in the midst of the lawsuit to fight this all the way to the Supreme Court. And that's what we intend to do. So we're not going to roll over.
Wait a minute. You raised how much money?
$10 million.
Did you have any idea you were going to raise anything like that amazing number?
We asked for five. That's what our lawyers were saying, that for us to fight this all the way to the Supreme Court, we needed $5 million. So we asked for five, but the interest was so strong that we had to start turning people away at 10. We had to shut it down.
I'm speechless at that. That's amazing.
It's a really a testament to how here's the other thing, Tom, to understand the passion and how badly people want the studios to play ball with this or for the law to force their hand. We had 40,000 people before we finished the SEC filing to be able to raise this money. We had 40,000 people voluntarily donate money to the litigation with nothing in return. We had someone in Florida, a former football player, and his family started a petition. It's called savefiltering.com. It now has almost 100,000 signatures on it. We asked for letters to the court and got tens of thousands of letters sent in to us. Then we had dozens of religious and government organizations who signed declarations on our behalf in the lawsuit. So the support for this and the groundswell has been overwhelming, and it's really given me the energy and the passion that I need to fight on these people's behalf, because like you said, this would be very nerve-wracking, but every time that my nerves get to me, I think about all the people that we're fighting for, and it just seems worth the fight.
All right, I want to ask you, and by the way, I know there's some work going on in the background in your office. It's just like in the background, occasionally, if people have super duper hi-fi setup, they can hear some of my kids running around once in a while when I'm not in my proper studio environment. But anyway, I want to ask about your background. You've only been doing this since 2013. What did you stop doing to start doing this?
Immediately prior to VidAngel, I started a company with my brother and with Dr. Bob Wagstaff. It was called Aurabrush. It was a tongue cleaner that helped get rid of bad breath. And we marketed it on YouTube and social media and took it from zero sales to global distribution in Walmart, Walgreens, Boots, Japan, in a very short period of time. We sold our stock in that company and left in 2013. And we started VidAngel for our own families because we wanted the product. And then we also started an advertising agency to pay the bills. And the agency, much to my dismay, is called HarmonBrothers.com. And that's an interesting story in and of itself. We had our very first deal, had to have an entity to receive it. And we were on the state website the night before we received the wire. saying, what are we going to call this agency? And we just said, well, let's just put in a placeholder, Harmon Brothers, for now. And then the ad campaign that we started became so successful that now we're stuck with the name. So,
all right, fair enough, fair enough. Now, what is the most useful thing, given that you're turning away donations at this point, what's the most useful thing the average person can do to help you? Obviously, they should go over and register for VidAngel and start using it. Is there anything else we can do?
Yes, you can write your senators or congressmen to make them aware of what Hollywood is trying to do. And this would necessitate some background. You use Clean Films. Clean Films was shut down for copyright infringement, along with about a dozen other companies. And at the time, these companies, one company in particular, reached out to the studios and asked for a deal, a business solution. And the studios refused to give them a business solution. And so Congress stepped in and passed a law in 2005 that was signed into law by President Bush that provided a system that if you follow this system, then you could enjoy filtered content without having the explicit permission of the studios, because the Congress knew they'd never give consent. Well, in that law, there's a transmission clause. And the transmission portion is the portion under which we operate. And I think it would be helpful for people's congressmen to know that what the studios lost in 2005 on older technology, they're trying to win through the courts on newer technology. The studios would love that law becomes obsolete and is relegated to just the DVD age.
All right, so we got that. I presumably also just alerting people to your situation. Has there been any reaction in the media, any write-ups about your situation and the case?
Well, the media has been very quiet since June. We've had a few write-ups from Variety and a few other sources, and then from friendly sources. But interestingly, when the injunction was granted on December 12th, suddenly everybody in the media was covering it. So we'd love for people to share VidAngel, to defend VidAngel, to use VidAngel. And we actually just licensed our very first title from someone who's actually willing to license content for filtering. And we've launched a new website called VidAngelStudios.com. And if you're interested in licensing content to us, or in if you're a comedian, stand-up comedian, and would like to get involved, we're doing stand-up shows and we're going to be broadcasting them with a tipping system. There's some pretty exciting stuff. So go to VidAngelStudios.com if you want to get involved.
All right. I'm going to link to that too, VidAngelStudios.com. Wow, it sounds like they messed with the wrong guy. It's very interesting. I've come across a lot of people who have been in not precisely your situation, but seemingly overwhelmed, who have just buckled under. And you are throwing absolutely everything you have at this. And apparently you've got a huge army of supporters and a lot of dough. Of course, you're up against a lot of dough, but this is it's a really tremendous story here. And I sure hope you succeed for the justice of it, and I hope you succeed purely selfishly because I like your service.
I do too. I do too. Our own children are like they're like, we don't want VidAngel to go away. So
I can't get. And the thing is, when I used to defend Clean Films, and I even had some libertarians who were lecturing me on why I shouldn't be defending them, and I thought that's perverse. It's my physical property. I can do whatever I want to it.
Right.
It doesn't, you know, and as I say, the analogy with my books doesn't work, because in the case of VidAngel's movies, everybody knows they've been altered. If people were to buy my book, temporarily alter it, and then return, why would I possibly care about that? I just want the royalty. You know, I don't care.
No kidding. And this is what's interesting about this is, where true liberty exists, every audience can be served. So the family who wants to watch a movie exactly as the director intended, they're happy. The family who wants to filter their movie in their own home, they can do it on their own, and they're happy. The family who wants to refuse the movie because of the content that's in it, they're happy as well. All parties are best served by there being liberty. And so I really do hope that we come out on top on this.
Now, by the way, don't some of these studios sell edited versions of these movies to countries like in the Middle East or somewhere in the world?
Yeah, the difference is that they they see an immediate upfront big check, and their directors get to have the ultimate sign off. When a family makes the choices in their own home, the directors don't get the ultimate sign off. And this is about control.
Got it. Okay. Well, we're going to link to everything. Is there still any purpose in signing the petition that you mentioned?
Absolutely. Yes. Savefiltering.com.
Okay.
That will be every voice matters there.
All right. So we're putting that up, vidangelstudios.com, and then vidangel.com is the site itself. So all that will be at tomwoods.com/810. Well, best of luck, Neil. Give them heck over there. Keep on fighting, and I can say we're all behind you.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, folks. Before I let you go for the weekend, here's a nice little thing I finally got around to doing. I've taken most of the free ebooks that I've produced, and I've put them together on one convenient page, one location. I still have all the individual pages, but if you're interested in one of these books, like, for instance, I've got 14 Hard Questions for Libertarians Answered. I've got Bernie Sanders Is Wrong. I've got Education Without the State. All these books you've heard me talk about, they're all available in one place. Just click, you get them for free. And where else would they be but tomsfreebooks.com? And I know you guys know there's no such thing as an apostrophe on the internet. Tomsfreebooks.com is where you get them. So go click and be a happy reader this weekend. And I'll see you sort of next week. I'll be away, but the episodes will still be running. Thanks for listening.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.